Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Stacy Hafner. Hey, Stacy.
Hi.
Stacy is a program manager on the .NET team and co-owner of What Up Games.
That's
one
correct.
Of the industry's premier game sites, or so I'm told.
We're working up towards that.
And what we're going to do today is another in our continuing experiment here, as we said last time, trying to get away from just showing tooling on this show, and which is what we've been doing for the 4+ years we've been on air, and try to get more to building things. So we're going to build stuff today. We're actually going to build a Unity game from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, so we're going to be building a Super Space Shooter. I actually wanted to call it Super Space Shooter Deluxe 5000, but I kept it short. And we're going to be using free graphics that are provided by Kenny.
Okay.
And the link is actually on a GitHub page where people can go and download this after and play around with it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to use Unity. We're going to use Visual Studio and Visual Studio tools for Unity. So you're going to write the game in Unity, do the scripting in Visual Studio, and you'll talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is basically sort of an introduction to building games for somebody who, like most of the viewers who are good Visual Studio developers, but maybe new to Unity.
That's correct, yeah.
Excellent.
So we're going to actually look at designing a UI. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some AI. So we're going to have the enemies will spawn and we'll have them move around. And in order to do that, instead of writing it code-wise, we're actually going to use some built-in stuff within Unity that's not necessarily the most conventional way to approach it,
okay.
but a good way to show how that navigation stuff. So we can basically get it up and running in very few lines of code.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
and we don't know how long this is. We actually don't know how long this is going to take. So if we get to like the 30, 45 minute mark and we're not done yet, we'll probably cut this in half. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll just do it as a single episode.
Yeah.
We don't know right now. By the time you watch this, you'll know what we decided on. But we're going to play it by ear.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
All right. So real quick before I get started. As I mentioned, it's out on GitHub,
okay.
So you can go and you can download it, and there's actually a series of development challenges to help people build off of this later.
Cool.
Yep, so there's that. Okay, so jumping in, this is Unity.
Unity is a free download from unity3d.com, and when you download the free personal edition, mm-hmm. right? You can pay for the professional edition.
Mm-hmm.
You download the personal edition, and if you don't already have it, you have the option to install Visual Studio Community.
Yep. Yep, and along with that is
going
to come with the tools, and that's
right.
going to give you the IntelliSense and other support, which
yep.
we'll see kind of popping
up. Now, if
up.
You already have Visual Studio and you download Unity, will it just install the tools? Or do you have to go get those separately?
You know, I tested that earlier today, and it will just download the tools
Very
as part
clever.
Of Unity.
Okay, cool.
Backed into it on accident, but it worked
All right.
out well. okay, so as I said, this is Unity. To give just a quick overview for people who aren't very familiar with it, on the left side under hierarchy is where you're going to see any game objects or anything that is showing up in your scene or is being used to kind of help the game work within that particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
Down at the bottom is project, and this is basically all of the assets or things that come with the game. So you can see I've already kind of pulled stuff in just for simplicity's sake. And I've got fonts and sprites and textures. And we'll take a deeper look at these, but that's where they're all located. Down at the bottom, there's animator and animation. We're actually not really going to mess with this stuff too much. We're going to do most of our animation with code.
Okay.
So we're going to stay away from that, but there's actually some good opportunities for people to go and very easily play with that, especially when we start to build out the main menu UI. There's console, which will give us the errors. This will actually also talk with Visual Studio. So if we add some code errors and they can't compile, we'll see them here, and then mm-hmm. we'd also see them in Visual Studio. To the right is the inspector. This is basically going to tell us what a game object is. And to build on that a little bit, in Unity, game objects are basically just kind of an empty representation of something. And you build up what a game object is by adding components to it. And
okay.
that's defining its purpose in the game. So right now, we can see under hierarchy, I am on main camera. And on the right-hand side, we have transform. And every game object is going to have that. And what that's doing is that's defining its position, rotation, and scale within the game world. So we can size it. We can move it around. All of that's going to be right here. So that'll come with every game object. We can see that there's a camera game object, and that's actually camera component, and that's defining this game object as a camera along with the rest of what we have down here. So the other thing that we're going to take a look at, and we'll look at this a little bit later, is navigation. And we're going to use this for making our AI move around without having to do too much code to build it up. So those are actually the two main ones that we're going to take a look at. So to get started, this is actually going to basically be, I have an example of the game. So let me show. So this is going to be a space shooter game. So with Unity, you can build for many platforms. So this is it, Super Space Shooter. We hit play, we can move around and try to hopefully kill the little ships. I'm very bad at aiming. and the way that this game is going to be built out is you can easily add more ships in, okay. You can scale their damage. All of that's very, very easy to do and kind of built in so that you can just go and add it if you download it from GitHub. So that's what we're going for.
Okay.
Okay, so to get started, we're going to create a 3D object, and we're going to create a plane. Basically what this is it's just a flat object in it. And what we want to do is this is going to be that purple background that we're eventually going to animate. So under project, we have sprites and textures. In order to have something appear on the background, it needs to be a texture that's tied to a material. So that's the first thing that we're going to need to do. So when I pulled this in, it automatically classified it as a texture. And this is all the
default. You pulled that in from?
I copied it into my project file.
Okay.
So it was just an image that I copied into my project file, and then this is what Unity did. So it automatically set it as a texture. The majority of the time, you're going to probably want sprite or texture. Those are two of the most common ones. So you'll work with some of the other ones, but those are usually enough to get you started. For us, the majority of these are all set properly. The only difference, is the clamp mode. So as the spaceships were moving, the stars were moving down and around, and that's because the clamp mode is set to repeat. And what that basically means is as we start to shift the tile and the offset, which we'll see here in a second, it's going to repeat that texture around it. So we're not going to see any sort of empty space or clipping or anything weird. We're just going to see this fluent movement, which is fantastic for animating it. And then I like to change it to tear color instead of compressed just to ensure that I'm getting the best quality. And you hit apply. So the other thing that we need to do is we need to create a material, and that's what's going to actually live as a component on the plane. And the image is going to be associated with it. So we'll go create, and material should be around here. There it is. And for us, we want unlit texture. This is basically just mean lighting's not really going to affect it. It's going to look how it's designed, so kind of bright. You just drag and drop that there. And what we have is we have two, tiling and offset. And so actually meant to, let me rename this real quick. Do I not see rename? Oh, that's right. You have to, there we go. So you can actually just drag and drop it on there. And if we look at the plane, we can see now that our material here is here, that background material. And then we have the tiling and the offset. But when we go to the game mode, we can't see it. That's because the camera's not actually pointing at our background. It's pointing forward, and our background is down below.
Okay.
So we need to move that camera, and we actually need to change its projection. So right now it's in perspective mode. We're going to be working with 3D objects, but it's actually going to look like a 2D game. And we're working with 3D objects so we can take advantage of the navigation components. So if I change this to orthographic and I rotate the camera down on 90, we should start to see the background. There it is. Come into focus on the camera's view.
Okay.
So if we bump this up 2x2 and click on the camera, we'll see that it's actually taking up the space for the most part. It looks like we're actually just a little bit off. There we go. You can fly around, we can kind of see. So the distance isn't really going to matter with this view. And we pop into game, we can kind of see it. So if we look, it's blurry from what we can tell. And that's just because the texture is being applied at a 1:1 tiling, which is too big for this. So if we drop it down to a 5:5, it should be less blurry and the stars are gonna look a little bit more natural.
Okay.
Now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna actually animate this. And we're gonna do that by using the tiling offset. And you can kind of see it. If I take this number and I drag it, you can kind of see the tiling move. But what we wanna do is we actually wanna make that happen in code. And so before we jump into that, it's actually kind of fun to get a player character out there that we can also do. Because what we want to have eventually happen is we're gonna have the player match up with the environment, meaning we move up, the environment's gonna, the stars are gonna move a little bit quicker. We move down, the same thing, left and right, so it looks like you're actually navigating through space.
Okay.
So in order to really make that happen, we actually need somebody to control. So we're gonna leave this for now, and we're gonna come back to it. We are gonna ground, rename it. So as I was explaining, game objects are basically built up by their components. So what I've done is I've just created an empty game object, and it has its position, rotation, and scale that transform. Like I said, it kind of comes automatically unless you're working with UI, then it's like a rect transform. I actually think that, this is all off. So what I'm doing is I'm just resetting everything to zero.
Okay.
Because that will make setting stuff up a lot easier, and that actually explains why my camera was a little bit off. There we go. That'll make setting up the environment easier. So I highly recommend, as you're working with game objects, try and work in the position being whole numbers. So I've gotten into the habit where I'll do like really long decimals, and it just kind of complicates things.
Okay.
So as much as you can, work in whole numbers and try to position naturally. So we have a player, which is right now at 0, 0. And what we want to do is we actually want to tie...
So that rectangle represents the object?
This little one right here basically represents it. And there's nothing else beyond that because this is considered an empty game object. And empty game objects have their purpose not just to be built up to establish it, but for organizational purposes, which we're actually going to see here. So I want to tie the ship image, the red one, to this. But I don't want to tie it to this parent because we're going to do two images. We're going to do both the ship and then we're going to do the gun, and that way we can position it how we want. So if I do another empty that's underneath it, this is basically an empty child object. I'll rename this to ship, and we're going to set this to the ship's image. And Unity now has this thing called a sprite renderer.
And a sprite is what exactly?
A sprite is essentially a 2D graphic.
Okay.
You can animate 2D graphics too. So as do you remember like old flipbook times where you draw a thing and you'd flip through it and everything? So a sprite is basically like one of those drawings, and then a sprite sheet would be all of those pages on a single sheet that you could then go through and animate.
Okay.
We're not really going to do anything with the sprite animation stuff, but good thing to know and good thing to look at, especially if you're interested in making 2D games and making somebody walk around or something like that. So in this case, we have the sprite renderer, and we had two choices. We could either do a texture and we could do the same exact thing that we did on the background, or we can have a sprite renderer, which gives us interesting things like ordering in a layer, which we'll see when I add the gun, where we can set the positioning without having to actually set the position. We're just setting how it renders differently, which is really neat. And this will get you up and running a lot quicker. So if we click that little circle, it's going to pop up a thing, and it's going to look for anything there. And I actually don't see this because I haven't set this as a sprite yet. So we jump into the sprites. I have a whole bunch of stuff. I set everything, but I forgot to do the player.
And you got those from?
From Kenny.
Okay.
Yep, so all of these except...
So you don't have to draw these things yourself. You can just go out and get them.
There's a lot of really good free resources out there. And Kenny happens to be somebody who does and pushes out a ton of free graphics for people. You can pay, you have the option to pay, and you'll get a little bit extra, but he has a ton of stuff out there and to kind of boost the game development world. So the majority of what you see, I created a heart, I think, or the heart and the logo are what I created. Everything else was Kenny's. So when I pulled in the player, it automatically classified it as a texture, which we don't want in this case because we want to use the sprite. So you just click texture, and we'll pick sprite 2D and UI. And that's going to give us a set of different options. It actually looks like it, it remembered fairly well what it was supposed to be at. Usually I have to go through and change these things to kind of make it a little bit crisper. The only thing we don't care about are mipmaps, which again have to do with fuzziness, and there's just no point with this game to worry about something like that. But that's all you need to do is change it to sprite, make sure that your settings are correct. In this case, I usually try to get max size pretty close to what the original image size is. Mm-hmm. And then I tend to just go for true color. And that for me has produced optimal results. I haven't run into any issues. And then you'd click apply. So if we jump back to the ship and we click this button. Player, sorry. There we go. Now we can see the player popping up because it's a sprite, not a texture.
Okay.
So if we add it, we can see it. It's definitely sitting through the ground. And that just has to do with the fact that I positioned the parent at 0, 0, which happens to be the exact same position that the background is. So if I hold down control and pull it up, it's actually going to increment all whole numbers. So it's going to snap to those numbers, which is what I did. So now, and I moved the parent instead of the child, because the parent is what we're going to manipulate. And the child objects, in mm-hmm. this case, will be our sprites, are just along for the ride. So we click on player, and I want this rotated. So I'm going to rotate it 90 degrees. Oh, no, actually, I meant to do that on ship, not player. So player's going to stay what it's at. Ship is going to rotate 90 degrees, because we can manipulate this. We don't have to worry about any funky numbers with player when we go to move around. So we can kind of see. Now, the ship is positioned correctly. The player is still at 0, 0 on all the starter numbers, which is great for manipulating it in code. It becomes mm-hmm. easier to work with. The other thing that we need to do is add a gun. Otherwise, I don't know how it's going to come up with lasers.
Right.
So a really easy way to do something like that is to actually just duplicate an existing game object and then manipulate it. So you can right-click and click duplicate, or you can just go to Control-D, and that's going to create another copy of it. And for this, we'll call it gun. We're going to add the gun, which we can see right there.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, snapping is going to make it go too far. So this is more of a, unfortunately, a manual move, but it won't have too many repercussions. And we actually need to flip it the other way. So you can see the gun is actually kind of sitting on top of it, which in this case, I don't like that behavior. I'd rather have the gun below the wing instead of sitting on top of it. Really easy way to do that is to change the order and layer since we're working with a sprite renderer. So I want the ship to be above the gun. So if I come in and I do one, it's automatically going to position it up. You can get a little bit more in depth if you need to and actually set more ordering layers if you're doing a lot of these. In this case, we really only have the two, so just setting the order is sufficient. But you can definitely jump in. And then also a little caveat. So I could technically flip the position of the sprite by manipulating the transform, the mm-hmm. scale in particular. So if I go like that, it's going to flip it the opposite direction. It's actually not a recommended way to do that. And that's why the sprite renderer has these flip on X and Y.
Okay.
That's more of the recommended way to work with it, just because it can sometimes produce weird issues. And I'm really picky, so we're going to just move this guy up a little bit. That's better. Okay, so we have our player game object. We have an empty game object, we have the ship, and we have the gun. What we're missing is the ability to move the player around.
Right.
So that's pretty key. And in order to do that, we're actually going to need to code. And we can work with Visual Studio. I actually meant to pull it up in advance, but I didn't. So you can just go to the file and open in C Sharp. And what this is going to do, and this is going to take a little bit longer just because this is the first time I've done it with this mm-hmm. project. But it's going through and it's generating everything. So with Unity Games, the solution file is actually generated on the fly constantly. So if you're posting something to the repo, actually, you'll notice when folks go to the GitHub repo, there's no project file or a solution right. file in there. And there's actually a lot of stuff that's missing. That's because you can set Git to ignore files that you don't actually need to store, one of those being the solution file.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to download that and pop it up inside of Visual Studio, it's basically just going to generate everything that it needs. And you'll see your folder will grow quite a bit in size.
So while we're waiting for this, what version of Visual Studio do the tools for Unity work with?
That's a good question. I think it's 2013 and above. Okay. I used it with 2015, so I can say for sure 2015. I did way back. I used it with 2013, so okay. I know at some point it did work. So, you know, this might actually not be showing anything because I haven't created a script in it. So, if I go, you can create the scripts through Unity, mm-hmm. which is what I'm doing. So we'll create this one and call it Player. And then you can actually double click on what Unity should do. Let's pull that up inside of Visual Studio. You can also create straight from Visual Studio. So you can separate the concept of working inside of Visual Studio for setting up your game versus working in Unity to set up your game.
Okay, so you can open in Visual Studio, but there's nothing to show until you have scripts.
Until you have a script, yeah. So it just looks like an empty.
All the gaming stuff is handled by Unity.
Yes.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, so there actually should be another window down here for the Unity one. I don't know why it didn't pop up on its own. But you can work inside of a special, here we are, Unity Project Explorer. And what this will do is this will actually isolate things down. So as we start to kind of build out the game a little bit more, mm-hmm. You can end up having stuff that aren't necessarily scripts showing right. up here. And so the Unity Project Explorer will clean that up. And then if you create a script through this, it's actually also going to add all of your using references. Okay. Whereas if you do that through Solution Explorer, you're going to have to manually add those type of stuff in.
Got it.
Okay, so this is player behavior, or player, which is inheriting from mono behavior. Mono behavior is going to give a lot of behaviors that you can work with as you're building out your game. And anything that needs to exist on any script that needs to exist on a game object has to inherit from mono behavior somehow. If you find that like a script won't show up, that's usually what the case is going to be. The other case could be it's not compiling and you really have an error down below that you need to deal with. So it's actually a list of all of the mono behaviors that you can implement. As you can see, it's pretty large. And so one of the nice things about Visual Studio tools for Unity is you can get that list right here. And then as mm-hmm. you become more comfortable, you can actually do quick mono behaviors, which you'll see me start doing. That you can kind of find as you type and then have it automatically entered in so you don't have to really worry about syntax, which is pretty nice. Okay, so let's move the ship around. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set a speed. And I'm setting it as public because any public variable is going to show up on the inspector. Mm-hmm. within Unity. So we can actually manipulate this number on the fly while we're running our game to make sure that we've actually targeted a good number that we're happy with, which is useful. We don't need anything for start, so I'm going to get rid of that. And then we're going to work with update. Update's actually going to it's going to trigger every frame. So if you're doing something like moving around, you're typically going to put this in update because every frame it's going to calculate where something should be at and move, which is exactly what we need to do. And so the other thing that we'll need to do is work with input, right? We're going to need to know when is somebody pushing a key. In this key, we're going to call it horizontal. And the reason being, we can set that to multiple things. I'll show where you set this in Unity in a moment. But you can set it to multiple things. So if somebody wants to work with WASD, or if they want to use the arrow keys, you can actually set up the input to do either one. And you don't have to do the get key code to say, oh, OK, if you're getting the W key or you're pushing the arrow key, do this. Instead, you can just do like a friendly name, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then any key that's tied to it will automatically get mapped, which is also very useful if you need to change that. So what we're going to do is we're going to work with the position. So remember, I was mentioning that that transform that exists on every game object. Well, we're going to access that in order to tell it where its current position is. So vector 3, vector 3.lerp. And what this is going to do is it's going to position. It's going to move the game object in a certain direction. So I'm feeding it its starting position, which is wherever it's currently at.
So lerp is a verb?
Lerp stands for something.
I lerp, you lerp.
I can't remember. Okay. I looked it up. It's linear, and I don't remember the rest of it. I know the L stands for linear.
Okay.
But I was wondering. Okay, so this is basically what we're gonna do. Oops, and we're gonna end up repeating this basically throughout it, but it's, so we're saying, hey, position, we're gonna lerp, and this is what you're gonna be now. So again, lerp is basically starting from one position and saying, I'm going to another one, and I'm going at this rate. So okay. We're starting at our current position. We're saying, if it's horizontal and it's under zero, we know we're trying to go left. So we're saying, okay, go to the left. Vector 3.left is just a kind of a shortcut key to way to do that. And then we're gonna multiply time dot delta time, which is time, against speed in order to make it move a little bit faster. So this is really just something that you end up repeating. Oops, I'm sorry, my fingers were on the wrong keys there. Still on the wrong keys. So in this case, we want to check, are we going to the right? I'm going to actually just copy this down. So the neat little trick, there is no vector 3 dot. Actually, there might be a vector 3 dot right, but what I do, if there isn't, what I do is I just subtract it, okay. And that's going to give us the opposite direction. And so we've got to go the other direction. As you can tell, I'm very much about shortcuts in terms of like duplication and code and stuff, just to speed things up as you get a little bit more used to the development. So we're doing the same thing, but we're checking on the vertical. And instead of left, we're actually going to want to do forward. And it's the same little trick. Where you subtract it to go backwards, essentially.
So forward is up?
Forward would be up, and then minus forward is going to go the opposite direction. And I actually think I reversed these. So that would have given us the wrong one. Okay, so that's it. That should be everything that we needed to do coding to make this move. If we jump into under edit, there is project settings and then input and then the axis. So this is where what we just worked with can be set. So remember we said horizontal and vertical, those are pretty common. All of this stuff comes every time you create a project, you're gonna have all of these. So horizontal and vertical are actually set perfect. That's what we want. Fire one, I actually prefer to call fire. And then this is going to be space. And what I like to do is actually trim this stuff down. So I'm going to say our size, oops, is actually 3, not 13. And that's going to get rid of all the other ones because we're just not going to use it. And then I'm going to bump it back up to 5. And the reason I did it this way is because you can either manually go through and delete them and add them, and it just takes forever. So I usually just go to like the minimum and then delete them off.
So what are the, so for horizontal and the vertical, what are those set to right now?
So right now, horizontal.
So left.
It's gonna
okay,
be.
So the left key and the right key?
Yes.
On the keyboard.
Yep, and what'll happen, the arrow keys. And so when you hit left, you're gonna go in the negative, and if you hit right, you're gonna go in the positive. And so that's why we did that check against less than or greater than zero.
I assume there's a way to do touch, so you can drag with your finger?
You can.
Is that difficult?
Yeah, no. No, it's not. Actually, it's a development challenge.
Okay.
That's listed there. On the site. So we're intentionally not doing it, but you're just accessing the touch and it has state behaviors that you look at. So you actually wouldn't work with it in here. You're working with something a little bit different. Here would be more along the lines of the keyboard or joystick or things like that.
Okay.
So the other thing, because we're going to do UI, where actually it requires that you have submit and cancel. So while we're actually not going to be working necessarily with these in terms of like the code get access type stuff, we still have to have them. So for this, submit is going to just be enter. We'll get rid of that. And then this one is going to be escape. And we'll get rid of that. And that's all we need to do. So that should be enough on the inputs. I'm saving real quick just in case. So I just saved the scene. So if we want to move the player, we actually have to put that script that we wrote on the player so that it knows that's what it's going to be controlling.
Okay.
And that's really easy. So you can either drag and drop, or you can just do add component and then start typing the name of your script, and you'll see it pop up here. You're not going to see it if it doesn't have mono behavior. So again, that's something else to.
So that's equivalent to wiring up the events.
Yeah. So the other thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this now just so I don't forget later. I'm not going to talk too much about it because it's going to come into play in a little bit and it's going to make a lot more sense. But I'm going to add two more components. I'm going to add a rigid body, and this is basically just saying physics can manipulate it. I'm going to uncheck gravity because that's just going to make it fall through the earth. And we're going to leave this alone for the time being. But we'll come back and describe exactly how this comes into play. And how it's going to come into play is as they start shooting each other, we need a way to register that you've been shot.
Okay.
And the way that that's going to happen is with rigid body, and then also another thing called a collider. And in this case, I wanted the sphere collider. There we are. And we can see it right there. So essentially, when somebody goes to shoot, it's mm-hmm. only going to check in the collider to see if it's been hit.
I see.
So we're probably okay. We're going to kind of cheat the system a little bit. We're probably okay with that size of it. Actually, you know what? We're not okay. I don't like that. We'll go up a little. As you can see, I'm just increasing the radius behind mm-hmm. it. And where it's doing. So I actually know why part of the problem is, and it's because our ship is huge. I don't want that big of a ship. So we're going to bring it down a bit. All of the ships are going to be kind of brought down. That's going to give us more of a world space. Unfortunately, the gun just changed its, or lost its positioning a bit. Oops. Sorry. This keyboard is a little difficult. Okay, there we go. Okay, so we have our rigid body, we have our sphere collider, and that's going to come in later, and then we have our player script. So if we push play, in theory, we should be able to move.
Mm.
So again, every update frame, it's checking. Is that button held down? Okay, it is. Let's move.
So every frame, is that the same as in when we talk about frames per second?
Mm-hmm.
So 60 frames per second, is that average, 30?
I don't even
know what you're going to get.
It depends. There's actually a lot of different methods. There's regular update, there's fixed update, there's late update, and they all play a different factor in how your game is represented. So in some cases, it's best to go and read and kind of understand exactly when those work, because it can get a little bit complicated. But in some cases, if you're seeing really weird behavior, and you're very sure that it's not a coding issue, it just might be exactly when that update's triggering, and it's a good time to go and understand exactly how they work.
So then you need to understand if that code's going to be called every frame, then you need to not overload that code with things that take time.
Exactly. Things that take time and things that are unnecessary. So a lot of times if you have a game and you're having issues with performance, first place I always go and look is my update methods to see, did I overload it? Was I thinking incorrectly?
Yep.
And that's usually a big culprit. I would say you pretty much never want to like get a reference to a game object or component in update. Usually you're just going to want to store that unless for some reason it's changing every time. And that's a very, very common mistake that people will do.
Right.
You just don't think about it.
And
eventually you do. okay, so we have a player moving. Fantastic. But we want that background to move with the player.
Right.
So we're going to end up doing something very similar to it. So we already took a look at setting up the material, but we also need to add a script to the background in order to say that we're going to manipulate it. So we can pop back over to Visual Studio. We can actually just add a script here. And like I said, that's actually going to give us all of the using references. We're going to call this Environment Manager. So this has to match. If this does not match, Unity will have severe issues. That's gotten me a few times, usually spelling.
Okay, so renaming in the Unity Project Explorer doesn't automatically rename?
No, it has a little bit of a disconnect, unfortunately. Although I think, if I recall, it's actually Visual Studio that has that slight disconnect. So if you do it in the Solution Explorer too, you have to do the same. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a weird disconnect.
Okay.
So for this, we're going to have a couple public variables. Background. I forgot my convention. Background. And it's a spell, apparently. So what we're saying is we're going to say, we're going to have it always move, right? You're floating around in space. So the background should always move, even if your player's not moving. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm setting, is the speed. And again, it's public so that we can tweak it if it doesn't look as good. And the other thing I'm setting is a private variable for the renderer. And the renderer is going to grab us the material so that we can access the offset. But we're going to be doing that every single update frame. So we want to store that reference in there. Mm-hmm. And I deleted start, but I actually did need it. Because when this game object starts, which will only happen once, I want to get its background renderer. So the way that you do that is you do get component, and then its renderer. And what that'll do, because we're doing get component, we're not doing like game object and things like that, it's gonna only check wherever this exists. So the object that this exists on, it's gonna say, oh, okay, do I have a component called renderer? And in this case, we know that it does because we mm-hmm. put a material on it, and then it'll feed it into that and we can work with it. If it didn't have that on there, it would error out on us.
Okay.
So in update, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm actually just going to set up that that movement that's going to happen every single time. So it's background. So we're accessing the material. And we're going to set the texture offset. That was what I was showing in that screen. And it's actually called, so it's called main text. That's something that Unity sets. So we're getting the main texture. And then we're going to do a vector 2, because it's only the x and the y. And we'll go material. And then we're going to leave x the way it is. We don't want to mess with that at all in this case. Go on the next line. But we do want to work with the y. So we're going to just do minus background static speed. We're going to just set that. So if we pop back in here, we go to player and we or environment, and we add that script environment manager, we can see that. And we should see it just start moving. You can kind of see the stars right there.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's going. It's going kind of slow, but we do see ourselves moving through space. But moving around does not have any impact on it, which is not what we want. So if we pop back over, we're going to leave this here because always, no matter what you're doing, it should be doing that. But we want to give the player script a way to work with this. So we'll add a couple more private variables. And then we're going to do that same thing. So Control C and Control V will copy this line if people aren't familiar with that. So we have our two variables, and we're going to do in here. We're going to actually we'll do a couple checks. So we're going to say if so the premise behind this is when you move and you push the keyboard, the player is going to update this variable. And they're so from zero, mm-hmm. and then we're going to use that to tell that the player's moving, and we're going to feed it either a positive or a negative number in order to force the proper direction. So we're going to handle the positive and the negative on the player side and just access this and tell it what it should be. And if it's set to nothing, then that means it's not moving and the environment should just keep moving at that static pace only. Moving, we'll do horizontal first. Does not equal zero. In other words, something's being pushed, don't necessarily know what. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to copy this because we're going to work with it, but we're going to feed it a different number. So we're going to feed it the multiplayer number, and that's how we're going to determine the speed. So the static speed is going to be its own thing. Oops, I'm hitting caps lock there. So we're doing horizontal, and it's always going to be plus in this case because we're going to do a different negative. So we're doing the exact same thing. We're just feeding it a different number to offset it. And then we're just always going to add because, again, we'll handle that somewhere else. And that is actually vertical. So the reason it's vertical is because we're manipulating y. I just flipped my things on accident. And then we're going to do the same check. And the reason I'm not doing this as an else statement is because I want to get the effect where if you're doing both, hitting two buttons at once, you see the stars moving in that direction.
Okay.
So I'm just going to erase that variable, and I'm going to add the plus here. And we're going to do moving. Multiplayer. Oops. Why? There we go. Okay. So the other thing we need to do, because these are private, we're going to have to give a player a way to actually set them. So we're just going to create a couple new methods. And so you can set the methods up. You can add your own methods.
Public.
Huh?
Not public.
Oops, thank you. Sorry. There we go. It's just moving vertically equals. There we go. That's what we'll access on player. And if we pop back over to this, we already have the moving, right? Mm-hmm. So we already know when we're doing it. The only thing that we are missing is a reference to the environment manager, and then, of course, setting those variables. So I'm going to set it as a public to show off a really neat feature of environments. Call it different. So I'm not getting a reference, if you notice. And that's because I'm going to use the Unity's inspector to set that reference. Okay, so if we're moving horizontal, so we'll go environment manager, and then this is going to be set moving. Oops, I can't spell today, apparently. yep, horizontal. And, oh, actually, I missed one more variable. I want to also have the background multiplier there so that we can adjust it if it's not going to the right speed. So, we'll set that there. There we go. So we're just going to set it, and then the update on the other one is going to pick it up. So I'm going to copy and paste it here. And one of these is going to be a negative, one of them is going to be a positive, and it should be this one that is our negative. And then under vertical, we want to set the vertical multiplier. And then if we're going that way, that should be our negative. And then this one's going to be our positive. And the other thing that we're missing is there's nothing setting it back to zero to say that we're stopping.
What's setting the background multiplier in the first place?
So every time you move, you're setting the background, or the background multiplier is going to be set in inside of the inspector.
Okay.
But it's the environment manager's these that it's going to feed into its speed.
Okay.
But so what we want to do is if we're not pushing anything, that needs to go back to zero so that it's not going to manipulate the screen, right? Because anytime that that's above or technically below zero, mm-hmm. The environment manager is going to start to manipulate that environment. So we want to reset that to zero if the player's not moving, and then we'll basically just default to that very beginning behavior that we saw where it's slowly moving.
Okay.
Okay. So that's really all we need to do is just set. Oops. Oh, wrong button again. And we're just going to say zero. And then it's the same thing, but we're going to set the vertical one. There. So now it has the notion of when we're pushing a button, and it'll feed the speed in. And we need to set that speed, though. So if we pop in here, we're going to see it kind of, it'll pause for like a split second while it's pulling our latest changes in. Looks like it did it pretty quick. So if I click on the player, and see the script is up here.
Oh.
I'm going to move it down. I have very, very picky of my organization when it comes to my components. I like my scripts at the bottom.
So those are the variables you set in code?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, so by doing them, setting them public, we can actually manipulate them on here. So we need the environment manager, for example. We didn't set a reference. We know that when we go to start, it's not going to search for it on its own. So we actually have to set it. And the way you can do that is you can actually just take background, which has environment manager as a script on it, and drag it. And it's going to know that it's looking for that and that it exists there, and it'll populate it in. So you don't need to worry about grabbing the reference. The other thing is we have the background multiplier. So you're asking, well, where do we get it? We're setting it right here. So in this case, why do we want the...
Is there a benefit to setting it there versus in code?
You can set it. So we could have actually done... We could have done up here.
Yeah.
Equals, and I don't know what a good one is. Let's... I really don't know. So we'll do equals... Oh, actually, it should be... It's actually going to be pretty low, 0.008. That should do it. So if we pop back into this... This should act. We saw, you might have seen it pause for a split second. Actually, that should have set it. That's weird.
Did you save?
I did. Because I saw it recompile. Huh. That is weird. So you can see that it did it here.
Yep.
But for some reason, it just does not want to pick it up. Anyways, normally you can do that. And if you were to set the variable and start, it's going to stomp over whatever it is that you did here. So you have to be kind of weary of that. So we push play. Okay. So we can see we're moving again to the side. You can see the star is kind of moving down, up. And you can see, actually it doesn't look like it's applying the speed properly. The screen's very dark.
Hard to see.
But yeah, it looks like up and the down do not appear to be doing anything, but definitely the side and the side do. Oh, I think I broke something, which is interesting. What did I break? Okay, horizontal, set correctly. We have the vertical also being set here, which makes me wonder if I did it wrong here. All right, so we have X. Ah, I see part of it. I am not, I'm setting, oh no, that's not it.
Is this supposed to be the moving vertical multiplier?
Oh yeah. Yep, that would be it. Good eye. It would be setting it to zero, which means that it wouldn't be working. All right, let's see. So I got left, we got right, up, goes faster, and down goes slow. Yes, right, good eye. Okay, so now we have the environment tied to the player. We've got the player moving around properly. Okay. What's next is to shoot.
All right.
Let's shoot a laser.
All right, this would be a good place to pause. So we'll end here, and we'll pick it up in the next episode.
All right.
Sound good?
Good?
All right. So stay tuned.